hot mess for me was divided into many steps, because at every stage of growth, it was a hot mess, and it still is for me.
Hey there, friend. You're listening to the Hot Mess Hotline, and this is Stephanie Krebbins. You are totally in the right place if you are an ambitious leader who wants to pull off a big transformational project. In order to do that, you and your team need to upskill and reskill in the process and tackle old problems with new ways of thinking. In the past, we would have called this change management and leadership development, but quite frankly, I don't think that's enough anymore. We need something more nuanced for the rest of the 21st century, and that's what we have for you here on the Hot Mess Hotline. These are executive-level conversations that are nuanced, insightful, and hard-earned lessons that you can put into practice as soon as this episode is over. Small tweaks have a huge impact, my friend. Take what's new and useful to you and leave the rest. Today's guest is Asad. He is the CEO of Cubic Solutions. I love Asad's story because he's going to talk to us about how he went from a one-person freelancer doing coding and really turned that coding and that software developer skill into problem solving for a fast-growing business that now has nearly 300 employees. Let's dig in.
All right, Asad, tell us about your hot mess.
Well, the hot mess for me is a bit mixture of experiences and challenges. Because when I started this company back in 2011, I was having no prior background of running a business. Even my family, my father was a government employee, and I haven't seen anybody from my family doing business. So this was something which was completely new for me, which was challenging for me as well. So jumping into the business was a bold step. And at first, it seemed like an easy step to me, because I had this one client while I was doing my job and I was studying as well. And I had this one client who offered me a project as a freelance developer. And I thought, oh, this project is gonna give me huge amount of money for the time, so I can start my own company as well. So I took this bold step. I left the job which I was doing and I started Cubic Solutions. At first, it was easy peasy for me because I had this project. It was going and going, and I was the only developer in my team, and I was developing all the stuff. Things got messy when he left. I had no other client with me. And it was the point when I had this option, whether I had to jump back to the job or I had to continue the step which I have to cover. At that time, I discussed it with my father. He said, son, I cannot fund your business. So it's completely your decision. If you are going to do your business, you can do your business. But if you are going to do the job, I am in favor of you doing the job, because that way you'll be having your fixed amount of money every month coming and running, and you won't be having any tough time.
Yes, it's safer. It's more stable. Yeah. Like, people want that for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was up for whole night thinking about what I have to do. And then at morning, I was very much clear that I am going to run Cubic Solution and I am going to keep it. I'm not going to join any other company as my career opportunity, because this is what I have taken as a bold step, and I'm going to fulfill this vision of making a stable firm. So that's how it all started. Well, the hot mess for me was divided into many steps, because at every stage of growth, it was a hot mess, and it still is for me. Okay.
Yes.
Keeps on going.
Yeah, let's say that again. Every step is a hot mess.
Every step is a hot mess. For me, it is very hot. It is very, very hot, and I kept feeling it again and again. Every time I'm going to scale it, I am going to take a new decision. It's a complete hot mess for me. The first problem I faced was business development. I had no client. I didn't know how to bring a client for the company. I had no marketing background, no sales knowledge. I was completely numb into this one. And that was something which I had to overcome. So I started reading books, because somebody told me, oh, you have to read that book, or maybe they recommended few books to me and told me to read those books if you are going to run your firm. And then I started reading those firms for I started reading those books for, to run my firm, but I got only few strategies because most of them are never practical for me even today. So I started this stuff for, because back in those days Facebook was not offering sponsored ads, there were no growth on Facebook, it was only feeds, and you have one page of for your company and you have to publish your updates there. So I decided to publish updates for my company, which will be marketing stuff. So I started designing different posters in Photoshop for marketing purpose, and I started publishing those pictures online. At first, nobody was offering me business. Then I started cold calling after having access to a few Yellow Pages directories. And I started calling myself and asked people that I'm offering web development services and I am offering SEO services, which were my niche, by the way. So I started offering those to few people which are local. So that was the time there was this guy named Pravez Khan. He offered me a new project. It was a small website based in WordPress, and I designed his website. It was for religious tours and travels, and I designed that website for him in $800, which was a huge amount for me back then.
As I say, and probably the best $800 you've ever earned, I'm guessing. Yes.
Still, those are very valuable for me. So that was the guy who, after I designed his website, he was very much happy with my behavior, and he told me that he's going to give me a few more projects as well. So he started doing marketing for me. He published ads into newspapers for my business, as he asked me that I'm going to be your partner here. Then we had one more project, and this way we started working into web development projects. This was the first mess I overcame. Then the second mess was designing a developmental team, because you are not gonna run your team or company by yourself. You need people to run your business. So business is never a one-man show.
Yeah. Can we go back to this? I want to go back to something you said in the first kind of sets of decisions that you made, because what I heard was I decided on my core strategies based on what I've learned. And I just want to put I want to call people's attention to that, because as an entrepreneur, and even if you're an intrapreneur, you know, someone inside of a company trying to innovate and grow and start something new, you can learn and learn and learn from other people. But at some point when you decide how you're going to move forward, so many things come into focus for you, for the company, that that limits the distractions and the noise, and allows folks like your friend to come in and be like, oh, I get it, and I want to contribute to it, and I need that, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, but let me correct you here. Guy who came in was not my friend at first, because that was the guy who was approached by me from Yellow Pages. So he was satisfied with my work. He was satisfied with my behavior with him. And soon he offered me a good partnership with him. He said, I am going to handle all the marketing and sales stuff, and I am going to bring you projects for your company, and I'll be the partner of 40% against each project, which was a good offer back then, because I was the only person in the company, and I was a developer. If I was going to get a project of, let's say, $500 or maybe $1,000, so I was paying him $400, and $600 were with me, where I have to accommodate cost of goods sold as well back then.
Of course.
So this was a good deal for me, being a single person and being a freelancer. But that was a time when I realized that being a single entrepreneur, you cannot call yourself a business owner, but you can call yourself a freelancer. And that wasn't my mission. My mission was to run a company where people can earn money. People came and work there, and it must be a group of people working together. So when I decided to scale, The next challenge for me was financial management, because when we were having projects, those were completely fixed price projects, and we were having a fixed amount of money from our customers. But when we hire people to work on project as a developer, then liability is involved into a project. We have to pay them salary, and we have to accommodate them with different perks and benefits. And that was a new challenge for me, because every price which we're offering to our client was clients was never enough for if we are going to accommodate employees into those projects.
Yes.
So that was the time we changed our strategy of signing up new projects, and we started focusing on Upwork and Elance and Fiverr and cold calling. And we also started offering a wide niche of services. Instead of web development and websites development, we also started offering custom web apps, ERPs, everything we could offer. At first, it was very hard for me to sign up new clients, because I had no portfolio back then. But that was the moment when I decided I will offer something in low cost for my to my first few clients. And then once my clients are giving me great word of mouth, then I'll raise my charges and prices. So
yes, great way to build a portfolio and build a group of folks that know, like, and trust you and can say,
it is the most common strategy everybody follows these days. Yeah, it is the most common practice. So I started practicing this stuff till 2014. I remember it was very hard for me, even for survive. I had at many times I had this thought of leaving this firm and doing job again, but I was completely in focus that I am going to overcome this one. Okay.
Yes.
So these were the challenges I faced over the time. The next hot mess which I faced, I completely remember, it was the financial strategy. Because when team building, it is always easy for you to sign up many people if you have funds in your accounts. Okay. If you have no money, you cannot hire people to work for you. It is never easy. After some time, when I was working, I asked my employees that I'm going to right size all of you, because I am not able to pay you salaries and I have no amount of money as savings. So I started signing up a project, and I asked my employees to leave. I only asked one employee to work with me, and I trained him as a project manager and IT consultant. I trained him myself, and on the same time, I was outsourcing all the stuff to Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, these countries where labor was cheap.
Yeah. So, question: How does it feel in the moment as a leader when you've grown the company, you've kind of stretched your finances too thin, and so you have to let folks go? What does that feel like as the leader?
Being a leader, I never felt good when I asked my team to leave this company, because I believe everyone in this company, in this company Cubic Solution, brings his salary with himself as his luck. So the company is based on the luck of many people, everyone who is working under the name. So it is very hard for me to ask my team to leave, but I believe at some times you have to take harsh decisions if you are going to survive. So that was the time when I asked my team to leave, and I only kept one employee from my team of six people. And I asked him that I am going to train you as IT consultant and senior project manager. So you are going to handle all the projects, all the project timelines, quality, and you are going to check all the stuff by yourself. So this was the time when I signed up many projects, and handling my chunk in my hands, I outsourced them straight away, and this way I started gathering good amount of money. When the money was saving into my account, I was monitoring it, and I had this threshold. I had this focus that once I am going to hit this threshold, I am going to start working on my team building again. At that time, I'll be having some financial flexibilities in order to hire new people and in order to handle new people for my team. So during this period, I also had this new opportunity that I was there was this client named Nicholas. He gave me this project, and he came on Upwork, and he asked me, okay, brother, you have to design this website for my business. And I designed his website. He gave me access for the hosting services where he wanted me to host his website. So I when I uploaded his website, he completely vanished. He didn't pay me anything. He never replied me for the longer time, and his password was changed all of a sudden. So I wasn't able to access the website. So this was a learning for me as well. So I started my own hosting company. The amount I saved from different projects, I invested into servers. And once I invested it, I started this company named Cubic Hosting Services, which is also rebranded as Phoenix these days. So I started offering cloud services to my clients as well, because this was something which was very necessary for every project. So this time, every client was coming to me, and I was offering him this third-party service as well, apart from developmental service. This way, my company, Cubic Hosting Service, or maybe a Phoenix, started growing. And now we are having good amount of savings from there as well. And same old employee is handling all the stuff for this company now. He is CEO of that firm. So this way, we were having financial benefits, and we were having good amount of money. We were having good savings. Then we decided to design our own team. And at that time, we started hiring new managers and new people into our team. But I believe managers are always expensive. And if you are going to run your business, you have to cut the cost for the business.
Yes.
Even if you are growing and you have billions of dollar turnover of billions of dollars, you still have to cut the cost, running cost of the business. This is my belief in order to run. This is my learning over the years. So when I started hiring new managers, they were very costly for me, and I started losing my money again. Then I again decided to start this training session under the umbrella of Cubic Solution. We signed up many universities, and we asked them that we will be offering trainings to your final year students, and they can directly sign up with us. We will be monitoring all the products and MVPs they are going to design for the market, and we'll help them in raising the seed money as well. This way, we'll be having a good partnership with them as well. We will mentor them. We will help them in developing new products. And if they want to work with us, we can hire them as well. So this way, we started developing our own team, and we designed this team in Pakistan. And yeah, this is at the moment, we are 286 in Pakistan, 287 in Pakistan now.
287 so, people in Pakistan?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which are permanent employees now for the company. So over the years, these were the hot messes we faced. And I believe a few months back, we thought of jumping into ServiceNow because they are offering, the clients are offering good amount of money in ServiceNow these days. So we decided to jump into ServiceNow, and it was a complete mess again because we were having no prior experience of ServiceNow. So I believe we have designed our operations in past few years, and we are pretty much organized now. But every time we are working, we are completely handling those challenges with time.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe that story is interesting for you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what you were describing is the journey of anyone who is set up to fulfill their own mission, you know, and I love it. So I want to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, and I want to tie some of these themes together so that other folks can learn the easier way than how you had to learn through these hot messes. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. Well, we take a quick break from this amazing conversation today. I want to share with you a new tool that I have for you. I think that there's a myth in our workplaces. Well, let me say this. I know there's a myth in our workplaces that meetings have to suck, and I don't believe that whatsoever. By all accounts, our time in meetings have doubled, if not more, since the start of the pandemic. And this time with your colleagues should not be a waste of time. It should be the most valuable. So if you're looking for more resources to lead meetings that are productive, powerful, impactful, and have everyone participating, get over to my website at stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings and get some new tools so that when you leave a meeting with your colleagues, you're not left going, what the actual F was that? You're going, yes, we're going to take on the world together. Let's get this done, because it was an unbelievably powerful meeting. Those tools are out there for you, my friends, and they're on my website today, StephanieCrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings. Now, let's get back into that conversation.
All right. So, Asad, let's come back into the conversation. You have grown from one freelancer to multiple employees, shrinking back down to two people, and now with almost 300 people under multiple subsidiaries kind of offering these end-to-end services. And yeah. One of the things that I heard in what you were describing from how you've grown your business is the word focus multiple times, like focus, 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 and combining it with you have this mission. You probably didn't set out on this mission to know like, oh, here's how I'm going to offer all of these services and here's how it's going to come together. How have you leveraged focus to design your mission as kind of the business unfolded, the world unfolded, you learned more so you could do more? How have you leveraged focus there?
I believe first step is always difficult in order to do something yes. new, in order to achieve something you have dreamed of. Yes. So my focus is always in strategies. I never focus on other stuff. I always focus on building smart strategies to design these new operations. Once my operations are designed, then I keep on scaling my stuff. Okay. So my focus is always on strategies. I do enhance the productivity of these strategies by measuring performance of every step. Because I'm more, people never measure their performance. They never use these KPIs indicators and they never use these different indicators to measure their performance for their businesses. But I'm more focused into individual performance monitoring and on my business financial performance as well. So that's why I am always working on strategies in order to enhance my productivity and strategy. I'll give you an example here. Yeah. For example, when I started giving web developmental services, I designed a strategy. Okay, we are going to generate lead. One team is going to generate a lead, which is from pre-sales department. And then once the sale lead is generated, lead is qualified and validated, then it is going to transfer to sales department. And once the sales department is going to validate this lead, then it is they are going to engage this meeting. If it is from category one, which is which means larger scale companies, then I'm going to involve into meetings. If they are into B category, then also I am my CMO or maybe I am there for the meeting. But if it is from C or D class category, then my sales team can handle those stuff. So these are the strategies we designed over the years. Once these operations are designed, we kept on focusing on developing new softwares for our internal use. Okay. This way, we improved our productivity. These days, we are even monitoring how our employees are learning and if they are learning new stuff, if they are performing well having different indicators. Even we focus on their communication, we focus on their dependability, we focus on their trainings, we focus on everything. So, under our Incubic solution, we are going to notice every step of our employees. We are going to study every step of our employees, and this is our research, which helps us gathering data for our people. And this way, we design different strategies, and those strategies are always focused on productivity.
I love that design. I love that intentionality. And a lot of folks kind of just take process, design it, and let it unroll, and they're like, bottom line for a leader sometimes, is it working, yes or no, versus a more diagnostic approach, which I think you've pointed to, where it's let's break down the process. Let's look at every single step to see, is it contributing to our KPI? Is it contributing to the result that we want, yes or no? And if yes, let's amplify it. If no, let's fix it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Last question, I'll let you get back to changing your part of the world there and growing Cubic Solutions. What do you want employees, freelancers, maybe other potential future CEOs to know about? What does it take to continuously step into the hard decisions and take the hard steps?
Consistency and focus. Yeah, if you have taken your decision, you have to be consistent while working on making it right, and you have to be focused on achieving your goal. And there might be many distractions while you are working harder and harder. There will be many times when you will feel like you are not going to achieve your aim and goal. But I believe with greater hard work, with great consistency, and with great focus, you can achieve everything you want to achieve in this world.
No, I can't disagree with that. It's the only thing that changes the world, I think.
Yeah.
Consistency
yeah.
and focus. I love it.
And patience is the key when you are going to overcome the hot messes and challenges. Because
yes.
there will be many things. And I believe every problem have its solution. Every problem comes with its own solution. We just have to change our perception of looking on into it.
Okay? Yes, agreed. I have those exact words on my website, Asad. Like, yes, every problem has a solution.
Yeah.
You just have to rethink.
We just have to focus on that problem.
Yes.
Solution pops up automatically.
Yes. Agreed. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing your many hot messes, not just one, which is the truth and the tale of all successful leaders, is there's not just one hot mess to share. They usually get layered together. Mm-hmm. But thank you for your time and your conversation and the opportunity to get to know you too.
You are very welcome. You are very
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Asad.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
All right, my friend. I love listening to Asad's journey and story of how he realized all the things that he had to learn along the way, from being just a freelancer to being the CEO of a 300-person company. And maybe you're not a CEO of a 300-person company. You haven't grown it from one to that many people. But here's what I hope that you will take away from Asad's journey. And here's what I've learned. Remember I said at the beginning, small tweaks have huge impact. So just taking the most relevant nuggets for you can make a world of difference in your week ahead and the work ahead. Asad shared with us, the first step is always difficult. I couldn't agree more. There's something about that first step in change that feels especially scary, but as soon as you take it, you realize how unafraid you can be. And so then you want to just keep going and going and going and build that momentum. Asad also said, you know, focus on strategies first and then scale. And I love that, right? Create some broad strokes of here's how we're going to do it. Here's why we're going to do it, but be open to the possibility that the process will change, but stay anchored in that strategy. And then finally, one of his statements that I'm going to take with me is that you need to notice every step of the process that adds up to the strategy, right? Stay focused, stay consistent. I couldn't agree more. I've been digging a lot into Stoicism lately, and one of the tenets of Stoicism is really about how consistent action and focused action creates the results that we want, but we have to have the patience in order to get there. And I certainly heard that in Asad's story. All right, my friend. If you got value from this episode, would you share it with someone else, another leader, another change maker in your network that you think would get value too? Because if you did, chances are high that they will. And any share that you do really helps us spread this message of how to bring change architecture, pro troublemaking, a good kind of change making to our organizations for the rest of the 21st century. And I'll see you soon, my friend.